B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
For those who forget, this was life in Boston before the world went to hell in a handbasket.
Celtics will wear the home white tonight in Philadelphia on opening night. They dropped the puck, and the 2019-20 season is underway.
Sixers in blue, they will go left to right, and the 2019-20 season is underway.
Bruins keep the puck in far point. Carlo shoots the puck, and they score!
Tatum, open, three, good night. What a performance for the Boston Celtics. And for the first time in 27 years, the Celtics have scored 140 points.
DeBrusk charges in, left to the net, fires, he scores! Jake DeBrusk has the hot hand, he went deep, attacked down the left wing circle, surprised Matt Murray, they score! And the Bruins now lead by seven. Hayward is open for three, got it!
Who jumps out of the gym.
Devontae Green, his lob, thrown down hard by Taco Fall.
Has anybody left the building?
Nope.
And trapped in the mix, it's going to be David Krejci with Joe Pavelski. Krejci with a couple right hand. Krejci right, Pavelski right. Krejci kind of switch hands. Pavelski grabs the leg. How about David Krejci throwing a couple right hands?
You get a couple old-timers like that going at it. I mean, everyone enjoys it. It certainly woke us up.
David back, Marchand, wheels far, circle around the check. Left to the net, center, they score! Marchand did all the work, and David Pastrnak rips in his 39th. That's a new career high.
He's taking, driving, spinning, left hand, scores off the window, and Jason Tatum has his first career 40-point game. It won't be the last.
They score!
Return to your regularly scheduled season.
Of it is Toucher and Rich, 6:05, Joe Murray in studio, and last night was borderline orgasmic. We have been waiting 5 long months for this weekend, and the fact that I had not one channel on the old return button, but I had two. I was going from the NBA, the start of the season, to the Bruins last night, and then every once in a while I'll check out the Red Sox, but it didn't matter. The fact that there were three choices of what to watch last night was unbelievable. It was the first time you got to see the Bruins on the ice. They were great, but hey, they were on the ice. You got to watch the opening of the NBA season, which was phenomenal. Both games were fantastic. As much as I really wanted to watch the Bruins, they were playing so poorly, and the product that the NBA was putting out there was just so damn good last night that I found myself watching more of that than I probably should have. And then the Red Sox, I'd check in every once in a while, and you know, they ended up winning. But I mean, this is it. We've been waiting for this weekend for months, and it's finally here. And last night, for the first time, it felt real.
It felt normal. That's more important than anything else, considering what we've all been through and some of us are still going through since March. Last night felt normal if you're a sports fan. That's more than anything. That's the key. Didn't matter which order you watched. Rich, I'm sure you're shocked to believe or find out that my rankings were a little different than yours in watching the watching games last night.
Of course,
but honestly, it just felt like a normal normal spring day. You know what I mean? You know, it was all of these sports on the air at once. It was an April day. It was basketball, baseball, and hockey all at once. It was fantastic.
One of the main things about last night that was, I guess, the most surprising was just how good the NBA product looks right now. Like the presentation, the way they put it all together. I'll play some clips later on, but you know, I've been number one anti any kind of fake crowd noise or anything like that. What they did at like tip off and what they did throughout the game, it was perfect. It's like, I mean, every other like sport is trying, and some are halfway doing a good job. I've even said with baseball, that little din of crowd noise that they have in the background.
Yeah, but Fox, and last night's game, in case anyone didn't watch it, and I'm sure a lot of you didn't, yeah. Fox, it was actually on the Red Sox game was actually on national TV last night. It was on Fox last night. Fox Television actually superimposed fans in the stands, but only part of the time. Like, for instance, when Christian Vasquez, who had two home runs last night, hit his first home run, it looked like the ball was going into the seats and the bleachers were full, but on the replay, you could see that the bleachers were empty. It was just bizarrely bad stuff from Fox.
Yeah, that part of it was weird. And you know what? It's almost like it's just who can be the best magician. Like, who can do the best job suspending disbelief just enough to where it's not distracting, and the NBA did that. It's like the volume of everything was perfect. You just forgot. Like, during the tip-off of the Lakers-Clippers game, which, by the way, it also helps that both games last night were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't stay up to watch the end of the game, but I saw how it ended. But even up to that point, I mean, it was great. I mean, it sucks that, of course, LeBron ends up getting the winning shot. I root for him to lose. But still, I mean, that's what you wanted to see in opening night game.
That was awesome. Rich, I had so many bets going last night. I couldn't keep up. What happened was...
A normal April day for you.
But what happened last night was I'm starting to get into like these like daily fantasy or like player props.
Yeah.
I bet Mike Conley to go over 16 points. And every time he scored, I was just like, Mike Conley, another basket. And then the nightcap, I'm like, will LeBron score under 24? And he did. But like I had bets going that I've never done before. And like I was literally up until 1 a.m. watching sports all night long.
Have you been around when we were talking about Joe's sleep schedule?
I'd like to know. I mean, he's talked about it, but now this is going to be.
I'll let you explain it fully in a second, Joe. Joe sleeps all afternoon and then will stay up until real late at night, get about 2 hours, and then come in. Do I have that right?
Yep. I come home. I sleep from about 12:30 to 4:30. And then
I'm
up all night long watching sports.
I wouldn't doubt it, man. I mean, listen, that's going to kick your ass after a week or two. Like, I have a feeling that this is going to catch up to you. But right now, you know what it is? And Joe can identify with this. It's that first night that you get into Vegas. Like, the first night you get there and it's just like the lights and the sounds and that's what right now we're feeling because it's the beginning of all these games and it's keeping you awake and it's keeping you going. Now, granted, usually Vegas after 3 days, you know, spits you up and, you know, choose to go home. Spits you out.
To go home after three. Yes.
Which is what's going to happen to you and your sleep schedule. You continue to do that, Joe. I'm sure you're going to get absolutely, there's going to be a morning we're going to come on here and you're not going to speak for the first hour and a half. but right now you're right. I mean, it was kind of a nice little high. And, I mean, even Tony Maz is tweeting at 4 in the morning this morning, which I don't know why he's up, but he was up. But it was great. And the NBA...
Everything was good. Like, I know the Bruins, whatever.
But it was hockey, and we've been waiting for so long to see those guys back out on the ice. And, yeah, they didn't play well in the first period and a half, but it was just good to see actual organized things happening as they should without any caveats. So that, we might play, we might not play. They were supposed to play last night. They played last night, and the NHL is going to start, you know, soon. It's fantastic.
Are you, Joe, going to start leaning on the unders on these NBA games?
I had the under in the night game, had the over in the first game. I thought it was going to go to overtime. And if anybody watched it, there was a, we call it the Zangle now, the Zion angle. And we think that the NBA is going to try to push Zion to a playoff.
I don't know. Pelicans blew a huge lead last night. It didn't look that
way. But they didn't play him late in the game.
Well, because he was out for so long, he's on a minute restriction.
That's stupid.
Why?
That was so stupid, leaving him out of that game.
Well, yeah, they should have managed the minutes better so he was in for the final 5 minutes. I agree with that.
I didn't think they were going to call a foul there at the end, and Rudy Gobert hits the first shot of the year and the final two shots.
It was a foul. It was a foul.
But I thought they'd let it go because it was, with 4 seconds left or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching these games, and it is sloppy. It's a Zangle. Okay, there's a Zangle. Is there also a Bangle? The bubble angle that affects.
Haven't added that one in yet.
Okay, we had a Zangle and a Bangle, because I would think the bubble angle would affect how well teams usually play when they're on the road.
Opening night.
Because it's basically like a road game if you're playing in the bubble without the crowd reaction. But you know what? That was the other thing, too, that I was pleasantly surprised by, and maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. But it was the level of competition in an arena that had no fans. And last night, I don't think the play would have differed much at all if they were playing in front of a crowd or if they were playing last night. I thought it was great. Everyone was all in. That Clippers-Lakers game, I only watched the first half, but
The best part was LeBron and Kawhi going at each other. And LeBron complaining about LeBron and LeBron's defense at the end, but LeBron... Yeah. And Kawhi Leonard's not the only guy, but one of maybe two or three guys on the planet that could say, no help needed, I'm good. And LeBron would try and get around him and complain to the officials about fouls. Yeah. And Kawhi is standing right next to him saying, all ball. That was not a foul. It's all ball.
Paul
and
George,
right in his face
that. Oh, no, listen, LeBron could not score. We go over it later on in the show, but he was defended by both Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. He scored 16 points on the night, did have the winning basket, but he was held to nothing.
Yeah.
And it was. And I've never in my life seen Anthony Davis play healthy. He was a monster last night.
Yeah. He was good. All right. Well, obviously with the launch of all that this weekend, we're going to be talking a lot about that. We have Ty Anderson, the return of Ty Anderson, to talk a little Bruins hockey with us. Chris Haynes, he is NBA writer for Yahoo Sports, and he is in the bubble right now.
Yeah, he was on the sideline on TNT last night.
And also, in case you've forgotten who Chris Haynes is, remember there was a story, remember we were all wondering about Gordon Hayward? And there was a report from ESPN that Gordon Hayward had signed with the Celtics that was refuted for about a day and a half. But the guy who reported it decided, nope, I'm sticking to my guns. That guy who reported it, Chris Haynes.
Yeah.
He was
the
original at the start, and that kind of springboarded him to just a great writing career for ESPN and now Yahoo. He's been really good.
Yep. And I'm fascinated with life in the bubble. Even as a reporter, it's kind of fascinating what they're going through. And after last night, I mean, as I said, the NBA they nailed it. They nailed it. The whole presentation of the games looks phenomenal. And I guess what we're seeing from the Bruins yesterday is going to be a lot different than when the actual season starts. And we had, I think it was Jaffe on yesterday, and he was talking about, I don't know if it was Jaffe or if it was somebody else, but they were saying that there's going to be double the camera angles, the presentation's going to be completely different, which does matter. It helps the viewing experience, and I was shocked at how good the NBA had just completely nailed it last night. All right, we will get to that Bruins, who didn't look good last night, but then again, it was a scrimmage game, but it was good to see him on the ice. We'll talk about everything else that happened last night right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports App.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
.985 a sports sub. It is Toucher and Rich, Town Fair Tire Studio. And, well, let's help the exhibition Bruins are nothing like the playoff Bruins.
Along the near side, Jones returns it to Bjorkstrand. Sent it right of the net, and it's fired. They score in the right circle. It's Nyquist with a drive that sneaks by Rask. And the Blue Jackets now with a 3-0 lead.
Yeah, that was pretty gross. The Bruins looked lost, rusty, whatever adjective you want to use. What we saw was bad hockey for the most part as the Bruins lose their first appearance on the ice together since March. 4-1 to the Blue Jackets. As lazy and off as the Bruins were for a majority of the game last night, there were a couple of bright spots. First off, Jack Studnicka looked pretty good on that second line.
Yeah.
And that's a really good thing because this whole Andre Kasha thing might end up being a bust. We're going to have Ty Anderson on later on, and he wrote a really good article about how, you know, we obviously don't know the entire story now. And as I said, the last thing Bruce Cassidy would want to do this season is throw a piece onto a team to give him a tryout, essentially, during the playoffs. We don't even know what his deal is and why he's not in Toronto yet, do we, John? Have we heard anything about news there?
I think it's pretty obvious that he tested positive by this point.
But he would be back by now. The timing makes me think that...
The only thing it can be... It's exactly right, mm-hmm. Joe. I mean, there are complications from COVID that attack some fairly healthy people. I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez is 27 years old, had the coronavirus, couldn't get out of bed for 4 days, thought he was over it, and now has a heart infection. I mean, there are complications from this thing that attack perfectly normal, healthy athletes. That must be what this is. There's no other excuse for it. I mean, you don't want to wish that on anybody.
Right.
But the fact that Kasha's out this long and there's no word on when he might be back, it's got to be something like this. And more to your point about Studnicka, he had a couple of great chances in front of the net, and this is a guy who hasn't played a game. This is the third NHL game of his career. He stepped in and looked normal, and that's all you're asking for at this point. He looked like he belonged, and that's a great find by the Bruins at this point.
Boy, yes. I mean, think about what David Krejci has been through and how many different line mates that guy over the past several years has had to figure out how to deal with. I mean, there's... And you look at the kind of chemistry that, you know, some of the best lines in hockey have, guys who've been together forever. And even, like, obviously, you know, Pasta, Marchand, and Bergeron, they've been able to find that success. They could do this in their sleep now. They know each other so well. Krejci's just have to deal. It's like a revolving door of dudes, one after the next, after the next, after the next. And for them to throw Andre Kasha in there just out of nowhere, I guess if there's any guy that can handle it, it would be Krejci because he's so used to it. You know what I mean? It's like, I guess that for that part, if you want to look at any kind of positive, but if you're Cassidy, that's just got to be a pain in the ass. So when you see a guy like Studnicka be able to come in there and play the way he did yesterday, especially as you said, John, in his third NHL game, what is he, 21 years old?
Yeah, he had a real good season at the AHL. I mean, he led the Providence Bruins in scoring. He is widely believed to be the best prospect in the Bruins system. I mean, God bless. This is fantastic. And watching that game last night where it was just flat out awful, Studnicka actually was the only bright spot in the first period. I mean, they're down 3-0 after one period. And I've heard the excuse, well, you know, Columbus has big games they have to play. They had to hit the ground running. The Bruins looked like they got hit by a truck at the beginning of the game. And they slowly got it together later. But you keep having to remind yourself, if you're a Bruins fan, it's only an exhibition game. An exhibition game. There are way more negatives to come out of that than positives.
I thought Bjork looked very good too. Like those two young players, and we see that often. Like they're the guys that shine in these type of games, and the veterans take over. Only real little takeaways for me was thought Sean Corrali was a little late on that first goal getting over there,
mm-hmm.
and Rask wasn't sharp. But I'm going to defend Rask for a minute. If you remember, we just heard that highlight, Rich, that you played about when life was normal, and now we're back. Tuukka Rask was one of the best goalies on the planet. Like, he was not giving up goals. He was, like,
one of the best three.
Yep.
And he's a finalist for the Vezina.
He's still dealing with a hand injury. Let's knock the rust off in the first game, but mm-hmm. I think he's better than that, and I think that's all that was.
He wasn't getting any help in front of him.
Not at all.
Either.
Bruce Cassidy said that afterwards. It's not his fault.
Yeah, no, well, I agree.
So. Also, another thing that was assuring is that even when the team is fairly listless, Pasta still finds a way to score.
Far circle, it's McAvoy. He'll drive it to the middle, and Corrali starts to accelerate over the Stanley Cup logo out at center ice. Out in front, Pasternak shakes, shoots, scores! Pasternak got the puck free out in front, able to delay and get Merzlikins to open up, fires it in, and the Bruins on the board trailing 3-1.
Pasta just telling the league.
Hey, what's up, guys?
That's right. It was a pretty good goal there.
I Mr. dropped Pasta. My Pasta stance. He is back.
Looks good.
It's over.
As good as Pasternak can be, you got to be a little worried when his line mate, Brad Marchand, had to go down the tunnel with what looked like a groin injury, probably. I mean, I'm not quite sure. As a matter of fact, even Cassidy didn't really want to say what it is, and he said that he didn't think it was serious, but they would probably know more soon.
they didn't think it was serious in that stupid exhibition game before the Stanley Cup either.
See, here's the thing, and I'm glad we have Ty Anderson on, because Ty wrote this very long article about, Cassidy said it wasn't serious, but he didn't say Kevin Miller's injury was serious. He hasn't played since. He didn't think Marshawn's injury. Ty Anderson, man, I mean, I've missed him dearly, and I'm glad he's going to be on the program so I can ask him about this. He just tossed that stuff in there to get clicks. There's no reason to bring that up.
He's legitimately Captain Panic. And you know what? I'm with him for the most part about the Bruins. Like, there's no team I'm going to panic more about than this one. Yeah. I'm really, because I know, everything was going so right with this team before everything, back in March blew up. And like, I mean, they could win this. I mean, they honestly could win this. And I'm not saying anything, completely. Everyone knows that if they don't, then you got to look at it. Not if they don't win it all, but if they at least don't make it to the finals, you got to look at this as a failure, which sucks. So that's why I'm nervous. And I know that obviously Ty is so invested into this team. I mean, it's his job. So, but he's also a fan. So I can see why he's Captain Panic right now. I totally get it. I understand it. I actually read that this morning too, and I empathize. I'm like, all right, dude, you're a little over the top.
I
understand why.
Fantastic. I'm happy. I'm psyched to get him back on the program. But the first thing I thought of is, come on, Ty, really? Really? You're going to bring that up now? Really? All right.
Why not? Panic all you want there, Ty.
But they're the one team that can play like that, and we can all sit here and be like, all right, it was just an exhibition game. Let's get the kinks out of the way.
And you know what? Even if they don't play well in these round-robin games, I mean, Bruce Cassidy said before the game, this is basically a four-game run-up to the playoffs. And he said Halak's going to play one of these round robin games. He's going to make sure he gets people some different looks. I don't think in that first period Marchand and Bergeron killed any penalties. And trust me, there were a lot of them by the Bruins early. I don't think Marchand and Bergeron killed any penalties in the first period. So Cassidy is kind of slowly easing people in. Meanwhile, Coach Torts all fire and brimstone. You must play well now.
Sure,
you must play well. We have games to play. So maybe the goals were a little different, but it was still striking to see how much better Columbus was early.
Well, Cassidy said after the game that Tuukka would start the round robin restart opener instead of Halak.
Yarrow didn't see as much action. Got help from the crossbar a couple times, but I know they're two good goaltenders, so I believe they'll be on top of their game in a hurry here. Tuukka's going to start the Philly game, and then from there, as I said, we're going to use both, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Well, let's see how Tuukka does Sunday, how he feels coming out of that game, and we'll make the decision who goes against Tampa.
Man, we talk about going from 0-60 in these games, but the Bruins, I mean, they're truly doing that. The fact that they only got one preseason game or pre-postseason or restart game is kind of wild. But as you were saying, John, at least their standings, at least it's advantageous when it comes to how hard they truly have to go in this round robin. Because you're right, there's really not much pressure to win. Basically, if they win one game, aren't the percentages that they would still finish with the one seed? They just got to win one of these three.
Well,
isn't that kind of the way that like the chances are like well in their favor that they would be able to still get the one seed?
I think if they win one game, the odds are that they'll finish with a two seed. I think in a situation like this, you obviously, if you win all three, it's a lock. If you win two of the three, you have a really good chance of capturing the one seed. But it's the best record. I mean, these four teams that have the top four seeds are going to play each other once and then see what the records are. And the tiebreaker is how you finish during the regular season.
So
the Bruins tiebreakers are in their favor, but if they finish 1-2, they're not going to finish with the top seed.
And just to mention the odds, I couldn't believe I saw this. I tweeted out. Odds to win the Stanley Cup, Bruins are 7-1. The Avalanche, Blues, Lightning all tied at 15-2. So the Bruins are the clear favorite. And the Stanley Cup final exact matchup, Bruins, Avalanche, Bruins, Golden Knights, Bruins, Blues.
I want Bruins, Golden Knights. That gives us Gosher for seven.
And it gives us Wizards.
That's right. It gives us Wizards. And
pre-game Wizards.
How does that go? Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, it's...
You're better at this than I am.
There was nothing funnier than last... during the playoffs, or during the finals, rather, when it was the Capitals versus the Golden Knights, because things started off in Vegas, and they have, if you haven't seen it, it's like that 5 to 10 minute long presentation where like a wizard flies onto the ice and like he cracks the ice with his sword and there's dragons to be fought. It's this massive, over the top, appropriate for Vegas pregame production with fire and swords and the Balrog attacking Gandalf, but it's so over the top. And then they went over to the Capitals and their opening thing, they rolled Pat Sajak onto the ice to just make a little speech.
Hey, don't forget Wonder Woman, Linda Carter was there too.
Not the new Wonder Woman. Linda Carter was in the stands. So it just, and you know what, to be honest, I kind of think the Capitals win on that one. As much as I love
it was almost as if they were trolling Vegas. No.
By saying, all right, let's just go on Cameo and rent somebody for a couple minutes.
No, you're giving them way too much credit. They failed miserably. They won the series, but they failed miserably.
But they failed so hard that it almost seemed like if it was intentional for them to do that, like, all right, if they're going to go so over the top, let's just go like D-list and roll them out there. Like, if that was the case, then you know what? But you got to give the Capitals a pat on the back. But you're right, John. I don't think that was the case. I think that was just like, dude, who are we going to get? Oh, Pat Sajak's a big fan. And that was kind of course, once again, just shows you where on the scale of things the NHL stands. I mean, the NHL awards will tell you everything you need to know about the star power when it comes to hockey fans. Hey, look, it's Kevin Smith again. So yes, I do hope it's Vegas just for that reason. All right, 617-779-0985. After Joe Murray's headlines, we'll talk about Sox and the over-the-top production values that Fox likes to throw at us. We'll get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 of Sports Hub, it's Dutcher and Rich, and two wins in a row, that is what's called streak.
Lifts this one in the air. This one is high and deep to left. Davis going back and it's gone. Back-to-back nights with a home run for Christian Vasquez and the Red Sox out in front early.
He listened to you. Fastball, he might take that one out. Davis back to the track, back to the wall, leaping up and it's out. A home run again for Christian Vasquez.
Okay, what the hell happened there? On the first home run, did they not have the sound of the crowd ready to go?
As I said, the Fox production value last night sucked. And that was on national TV. That was awful. There was no crowd noise on the first homer. There was crowd noise, and Dan O'Brien just said what I was thinking in my ear. That wasn't bad. It sounded right. But when Vasquez hit his first home run, there were fans. It was a sellout crowd in the bleachers that the ball landed in. You go back with Vasquez rounding the bases. There's nobody there. And before the game started, you know, when they show the lineups and all that stuff, and behind the lineups, it looked like Citi Field was packed. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's jarring when you see it.
I know why they're doing that, like the showing it sometimes and not, is because they're trying to get the reaction to viewers. Which one do they like? Which one do they don't? And that right now, this morning, they're probably checking all things like social media to find out what the reaction was.
It's just weird. Not have it one way or the other way. Don't have it both ways.
Yeah. I mean, well, don't have it with the fake crowd in the stands. Like, that's a little ridiculous.
I would have respected them if they had at least carried it all the way through and go, okay, you know, we don't care what you think. We're going to have a crowd the entire game. You know, they might get fast for it, but still.
This is pretty funny, though, because it sounds like he's just sitting in a closet.
What's this one in the air? This one is high and deep to left. Davis going back, and it's gone. Back to
it's like he's in the bathroom.
Well, he was.
In front of a mirror.
He's in L.A. He's calling the guy. I assume that's where Fox is. He's in Los Angeles in a closet somewhere calling the game.
Right. He's doing the play-by-play of taking his own dump. He's just, yeah. You can hear the echo of the stall. You're right. It sounds like he's sitting in a bathroom stall. It's like he's
lifts this one in the
He lifts that one in the air. He's talking about
lifts this one in the air. This yep. one is high and deep to left. Davis going back, and it's gone.
He's flushing it. You could put sound effects of that, and it would be would fit perfectly. Well, Christian Vasquez, a day after hitting one dinger, he hits two more in last night's 4-2 win against the Mets. But more shockingly, the starting pitcher, not named Nathan Eovaldi, didn't suck. Martin Perez, he was able to put together a 5 2/3 inning session of work. He had two runs, two hits, recording five strikeouts, four walks. That sounds good to me. I'll take that every time Martin Perez pitches. Too bad that game wasn't at home, because that over-the-top fake fan applause they ended up putting in there would have been deafening for Christian Vasquez. I mean, that level, you're right. Like, when something did happen for the Mets, like, yeah, no one's getting that right. The NBA is the only one who has gotten it right so far. I mean, listen, if you thought Nesson was weird with her sound, Fox just foxed the hell out of those cheers. Holy volume.
We missed Eck, though. We needed Eck last night.
Eck's been great. Can
I just throw two things out just quickly when it comes to the Red Sox? I like to give Ron Renneke his credit and then crap on him. I don't know why he gave a steal sign when they were up to
it. I'm convinced Peraza ran on his own.
Okay.
There. I'm convinced no manager with your cleanup hitter at the plate and a guy in scoring position tries to steal third with two outs. That doesn't happen. Any manager, you could have stood in the dugout and say, please don't go. Was Peraza.
Don't make the third out.
The last
third base.
Out of the inning with your cleanup hitter at the plate.
That is Little League stuff.
Yeah, that's awful.
And then second, do you think there's something to maybe not playing at Fenway Park without fans? Them going on the road, they just look like a better team.
No, the sun is shining on a dog's ass. That's what's going on.
Thank you. That's exactly what this is. And if you watched, and I know many of you didn't, but since I am a masochist, I did. I watched the eighth inning with Matt Barnes. It took Matt Barnes 37 pitches to get through the eighth inning, and somehow magically he was not scored on. I don't know how he did it. He threw 37 pitches, 31 of which I think were curveballs, and he somehow got away with not giving up any runs. I think he loaded the bases, but the Mets couldn't score off him. So good for him.
Joe, now I know why you don't go to bed till like 2. How did you watch this game? Like, I mean, because you were talking about how you watched the Bruins game, and, you know, like me, my thumb's, you know, it's being worn out. I'm going back and forth between the Bruins and the NBA and the start of that. You watched all those, and you watched the entire Red Sox game as well?
I was back. The Red Sox were more entertaining than the Bruins, let's be honest, last night.
Well, I mean, to be quite honest, most things were last night. I found myself going, though, towards the NBA.
But the NBA was awesome. Everything about it, I don't know. Just again, I don't know why Zion didn't play late, but Utah made a huge run there.
How much money did you lose?
I went 2-1 last night.
How much money did you lose on the Pelicans? Because Zion didn't play at the end.
No, I won.
Oh, you did win.
Well, actually, I lost the over.
Yeah, you did.
Because I wanted it to go into overtime.
Yeah, you did. The overtime didn't happen because Zion wasn't there.
I hit my Mike Conley bet, and I hit the under in the
Are you talking Mike Conley, the winner of Horse?
That's right, him. Yes.
Him. Wow.
I gave it out yesterday on our players card that you can hear every morning at 7:30 here on Touchdown.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. What was the one you lost? It was the over?
I took the over was somehow went from – this is crazy. The line was 220. Before tip-off, it went to 229. It went up 9 points because they didn't know if Zion was playing or not because of the quarantine. And it went up to 229. It ended 106-104. But, like, that thing had overtime written all over it. And Utah went, like, 3 minutes and 40 seconds without scoring a basket at one point. So, yeah, there should have been a lot more points in that game.
Well, here is Christian Vasquez talking about how awesome.
I think somebody needs to do it. I know they're going to come back of that. They great hitters. We need to win, you know, we need to do whatever we need to do to win and you know, we're playing better now.
Yeah. He was saying that he was sick of hitting ninth, so he wanted to try to do whatever he could.
Fun starts tonight, though. It's party time tonight. Red Sox, Yankees, you have 28-year-old AAA pitcher Ryan Weber starting today. You have Zach Godley starting tomorrow, and you have an opener starting against the Yankees on Sunday. I say a sweep, maybe 2 out of 3.
The Yankees have been like a bulldozer of late. They score a ton of runs.
How about that?
They score a ton of runs.
Yeah, you know why? Because they're good.
They can hit.
That's why. They can hit better than anybody. That's why. So I'm thinking these pitchers will shut them right down. This would be perfect.
At least it's a nice 7:05 pitch instead, first pitch instead of 7:35. What time did that game end last night?
That game ended close to 11 o'clock, Rich. I'm glad you asked. Yeah. I mean, well, if Matt Barnes didn't throw 37 pitches in the eighth inning, the game would have ended at 10:15.
You want to talk about the Sports Hub's greatest hits? I can contribute on track number 4, and that is baseball takes too damn long to play, and I'll die by that. I mean, yesterday baseball agreed that in this abbreviated season only, all doubleheaders are going to be 7 innings each. Just go ahead and do that for all singleheaders as well. It would still be longer than most NHL or NBA games.
What is like, it? Why are these games long with no fans?
The games I can only speak to the Red Sox because I've been watching them. The Red Sox pitching is not good, and the pitching in general is not good. The Mets pitching was just about as bad at the end of the game. You got guys going out there that couldn't get anybody out, and it took them forever to get anybody out. I mean, there's no such thing as a 1-2-3 inning. Workman looked good in the ninth inning last night, but everyone up until then could not just get clean innings.
They should just play softball rules. No warm-ups. Don't throw the ball around.
Start with a 2-1 count.
Just get your ass right out there and start throwing.
Right.
Okay, so I know that you were flipping back and forth, and Joe, I know that you're somebody who puts money on a lot of these games, so maybe it's a little different. But I am betting that the average Boston sports viewer is going to be see a Red Sox for the next couple of weeks. I think that while you're going to have playoff hockey and playoff basketball, anytime that there's a conflict, they're done. And they had this week to capture the hearts and imaginations of all of all Boston sports fans. And if they blew it, then it was completely out. Now
tonight's Red Sox Yankees.
No one.
Do you feel it?
No.
Do you feel it? No, because we want to watch the Bucks versus Celtics.
Yes, we're going to watch the Celtics and the Bucks, and then the Bruins start Sunday. And I couldn't agree with you more, Rich. I mean, the Red Sox had their 1 week, and that now it's done. And that includes. That includes me. That's it.
Oh wow! Well, that is saying something. If you're not watching,
that includes me. If given the opportunity, if the Red Sox are playing on the same night as the Bruins or Celtics, I am watching the Bruins or the Celtics.
Well, I've said this. Like, I don't really start watching baseball until the Stanley Cup Finals are over. Like, I've been that way every single year. It's like I don't really need to pay attention to it. In the beginning of the season, usually stuff don't.
This year, the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals end after the regular season is over.
Yes. So
we're
going to
play the LCS by the time.
Yeah, I'll kind of like check in on the Red Sox, but I mean, I don't see myself while all these playoffs are going sitting and watching an entire Red Sox game. I just don't. Unless there's something crazy that happens, obviously, and if there's some crazy run they go on, but I don't see that happening. And if it does, great. Good for them. Awesome. Hey, better for everyone. It makes Dan Roach happy. It makes everybody happy. But to be quite honest, this has been it. And you know what? At least they kind of saved a little face by having 3 wins by the time this was done. Because if they would have completely, sucked, then you really, really would have seen, the ratings go into the toilet. But this is kind of it. You're right. This is the beginning of a whole new era and the ending of a 1 week era with the Red Sox where people are actually tuning in and paying attention. So now, of course, unless you got money on the game like Mr. Joe does. So
yeah, last night, I won't do I couldn't keep up at one point.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Speaking of that, we'll come back and talk about the Celtics opening night, kind of reopening, whatever you want to call it. They play real basketball tonight, and you can hear it here in the station. We'll talk about that a little bit.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Dutcher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Dutcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Up, it's Touch and Rich. For some reason, this song just... Is this on the Swingers soundtrack? Because I know that they had, like, some old school stuff
yeah,
like
I think,
this.
I think it was, Rich, yes.
Okay, all right. Because I was just thinking about it. Like, I mean, obviously, the movie Swingers is very funny. And I was just going through, like, a list of movies a couple weeks ago before sports returned. Like, all right, here's maybe some old ones that I might want to rewatch. And I was kind of going through and talking to my wife, and she goes, did the movie Cocktail exist? And I went, what? And she goes, you know, Cocktail. Like, did they really make a movie starring Tom Cruise just about bartenders that like to flip their bottles real cool before they serve their drinks?
By the way, Tom Cruise is Irish in that movie.
Oh, is he?
His last name is Flanagan, yeah.
And the more I thought about it, I was like, hang on, that was a real movie. It really was. Yeah, and I was like, and you know what? That was when Tom Cruise was about his biggest star in Hollywood. So he wasted like 6 months of his, like, I'm the biggest star in Hollywood life to make a movie about the guys that we all hate when you go to a bar. Like, when I go to a bar, I'm like, I want a drink. Well, get ready. And he's like, no, give me the drink. Ice in a glass. Pour the drink. I want it now. And, like, they made an entire movie. Now, I don't think I've ever actually seen the movie. Now,
I've seen it. It's okay, Elizabeth Shue,
by the way, was just throwing absolute smoke back in the day. She was
a major leaguer at that point. No, sure. she was certainly good, but she was the rich girl that fell in love with that cocky bartender with a dream, and you know, she didn't tell Tom Cruise that she was rich. They ran into each other when Cruise was bartending on some tropical island somewhere. And she thought Cruise was after the money, and the father didn't like them together. It's a whole thing.
All right, it's a whole thing.
But I can tell you, the soundtrack was not bad.
Well, that's the only reason. I was thinking about it, and I had way too long of a discussion about the movie Cocktail with my wife. But I was thinking the only reason I'm aware of anything about this movie is because I think there were like two big songs on the soundtrack, and one was Kokomo from the Beach Boys, right?
Yep.
And then Hippie Hippie Shake by the Georgia Satellites.
Yeah.
That's one of those movies that you think back and you're like, how was that greenlit? And just someone just went, dude, I got Tom. Like, Tom Cruise must have owed someone a favor.
Rich, it was greenlit because at the time he probably was. This is coming off of, this is in order. It went Top Gun, The Color of Money.
Wow.
Cocktail.
Oh, jeez.
Rain Man.
Oh, whoa. Man.
I mean, come
Born on,
on
the 4th of July.
Man. Wow.
So Top Gun, I mean, launched him into the stratosphere. There was no bigger star on the planet than Tom Cruise when he ended up making that movie. I mean, Tom Cruise was everything. He was the next huge bankable star. The only thing that I could maybe say that would save him a little bit of face is that if he happened to sign on for that movie before he finished Top Gun. Because after that, like, I mean, he could have commanded whatever he wanted and would have gotten a role in those movies.
More than 2 years in between, though. So.
No, okay,
that's the kind of movie that you sign on for 3 years before it happens. That's what movies like, oh, that sounds fine. I get to spend 6 months in the sun. That's great.
Now I want to go watch Cocktail.
I do.
I never saw. I know it's got the dude from
FX.
The guy, FX.
The guy from FX. He is the mentor for Tom Cruise in that movie. He's like the bartender that shows Cruise the ropes.
Sure. He is the Sam Elliott of Roadhouse.
Correct.
He's like the sensei.
Actually, you know when what? That's a very good analogy. Because
right,
the movies are about the same, to be honest with you.
Tom Cruise had an amazing 10-year run right there. Maybe 15-year run.
Yeah.
The movie 15-year
run, his career has just been one massive run. When has he had 5 years of downtime?
Oh, I don't know. Once he veered into Scientology, he kind of went spinning into a ditch movie-wise.
I didn't like Valkyrie.
Valkyrie's
stuff.
Pretty good.
He's
made a couple bad movies, but I'm talking there hasn't been a stretch of 5 years. And I'll put the Mission Impossible series against anything.
Second one was dog crap. The second one was awful.
Maybe you're right. I haven't seen that one
in
forever.
Anthony Edwards plays his boss. It's awful. Awful move.
Well, I mean, they wanted to get some of that Goose Maverick magic back. So
yeah. Still trying to get over Eyes Wide Shut. That movie still freaks me out.
It's a pretty good movie. That's a good movie.
That damn piano every time in the masks and everything.
Vanilla Sky wasn't all that good.
Vanilla Sky was crazy.
Vanilla Sky was pretty good.
I liked it. It was crazy.
Listen, he might make a stinker every once in a while, but I mean, you find a 5-year chunk where he didn't have a
movie. By the way, it wasn't Anthony Edwards. It was Anthony Hopkins. I did say Anthony Edwards. It's Anthony Hopkins.
Well, it's because, you know, you had the old beach volleyball scene in your mind.
Right.
But I mean, like, the Mission Impossible series is one that shouldn't be as good as it is. And it's gotten better as it went along. Like, the last three of them are phenomenal. And it's kind of, on paper, not the greatest concept. You know, you've seen a million, like, spy movies or whatever. But the action scenes in those films are insane. And on top of that, he insists on doing most of the stunts. So there's like scenes where he's, you know, there's one where I think it was in the fifth one. There's a plane that's taking off the runway and he grabs onto the side of it. And there's a shot of him actually holding onto the side of the plane that isn't CGI it goes like, you know, several thousand feet in the air. And I saw the making of it and they strapped like a belt to the side of the plane.
That's
so
all?
If he let go,
I would have demanded them glue me to the side of that plane. God,
he's got a death wish. But either way, now I gotta watch. I need to make a list of movies that I can't believe actually existed, and that might be at the top of it. You made it after you made a movie about the douchebags who you hate to serve you when you go to a bar, and somehow put a story around it just so you could show him. Like, how long did he have to train to know how to flip a super cool Mai Tai cocktail and put it right there in front of you? Oh my God, it was one of those things that I had to actually Google it and go, wow, that was a real movie, and now it must be watched. All right, 617-779-0985. A guy who has had almost as strong as a career as Tom Cruise. We've got Burt Breer will be on with us to talk about all the strangeness going on in Foxborough, what that means for the Patriots, and how the NFL is reacting to what's happening with baseball and whether they're going to be making any changes coming up. We'll get to that. No commercials, just Joe Murray headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.